When I agreed to share on love, I didn't stop to think what a formidable task that is, because love is such a wide open topic. I mean, hope, peace, joy, and love, those are all great topics. But the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on love, says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." So ministers will tell you you could spend a lifetime preaching sermons on the topic of love alone. But in this short time I have, and I'm not going to be long, I promise you, I'm not preaching, I'm thinking of this more like a devotional or just sharing about love as it has to do with the Advent season. So in this time I have, I can't possibly do love justice. You're going to think of things about love that I should have said or didn't say or whatever, and that's okay. Because but when it comes to God's word and what it has to say about it, we know that the Bible is a book of love because God is love. So I thought I'd like to mention that when our culture, when today's culture mentions the word love, many thoughts come to mind. But think of all the songs written about love in the world today. Sometimes the world gets it right, but most of the time they don't get it right. For example, I wonder when I read some of the titles of songs that have to do with love. For you older folks, maybe me, I'm not sure, this was kind of before my time, but you know that song, "Love is a Many Splendid Thing." And it is. Love is a very many splendid thing. And then there's "All You Need Is Love," right? "All you need is love." Okay, that's great. Yeah, love is all you need. Okay, I "Can't Help Falling in Love," Elvis. "I Want to Know What Love Is." How many of you know that one? Foreigner. "I Want to Know What Love Is." Okay, well, open the Bible and you'll find out. Then we get John Legend with "Bigger Love." I don't know that song, but. And then there's a song, "Kill This Love." "You Give Love a Bad Name." "Crazy Stupid Love." "Love Stinks." Okay, you see how the world just doesn't seem to get that right. What kind of message is our culture sending about the word love? About the word love. The word love gets thrown around so haphazardly in our culture that people have a hard time defining it. Ask the man on the street, "What is love?" "Well, love is a feeling." I don't, you know, it's like people, it's hard for them to define love, the true meaning of love. And I think Max Lucado nailed it when he said this: "We've all but worn out this word. This morning, I used love to describe feelings toward my wife and towards peanut butter. Far from identical emotions. I never proposed to a jar of peanut butter, though I have let one sit on my lap during a TV show. Overuse," listen to this, "overuse has diffused the word, leaving it with the punch of a butterfly wing." Isn't that true? Love, you know? "I love your shoes. I love your hair. I love whatever. I love this food." Okay, well, the ancient Greeks would be aghast at the way we use the word love today so nonchalantly, so casually, so bland, so shallow. Because the Greeks, as you may know, had four types or four ways of describing love. One of which is mentioned in the Bible, but one of the ways was a word called storge. And storge means it's a type of love that a parent has for a child. So you know, parents, you know that feeling of love you have for a child. And then there's philia. Philia is brotherly love. That's why Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. Did you know that? You probably knew that. Because philia is brotherly love, the love you have for one another. Brothers in arms, the military, those who've been in the military know understand what that brotherly love is. Then there's eros. We'll just call that romantic love for now. Maybe puppy love sometimes. And then there's the fourth one, agape love, the one that's referenced in the Bible. And that's selfless love. That's God's love for man, God's selfless love for man. And that was revealed by God to us when he sent his son Jesus. I know what agape love is not. This is not agape love. A young man spent an entire evening telling a girl how much he loved her. He said that he could not live without her. He'd go to the ends of the earth for her. Yes, he would go through fire for her or die for her. However, on leaving, he said, "I'll see you tomorrow night if it doesn't rain." That is not agape love. That is selfish love. Michael Reeves, in the book Delighting in the Trinity, says, Jesus tells us explicitly in John 17:24, "Father," he says, "you loved me before the creation of the world." And that is the God revealed by Jesus Christ. Before he ever created anything, before he ruled the world, before anything else, and here's the key, before anything else, God was a father loving a son. Matthew 3:17 says, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" John 3:35 says, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." John 17:24, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world." Jesus was with God before the creation of the world. The Trinity was before the creation of the world. That's something you can share with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus wasn't born as a man, kind of God decided to have a son. Jesus was with God for eternity. So what does that make God? That makes God a loving father. Amen? God knew how to love because he loved his son. Here's a God who has never been lonely. Don't think, "Oh, poor old God must have been lonely, so he created the universe so that he could have some company." Well, isn't that great? No, he already had the son. He created out of love. Jesus is the heir. God has given all things to his son out of love. And Jesus has given himself out of love. We are heirs with the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son because of this, because of Christ. So loving others is not something foreign to God. God has been loving for all eternity. It is the root of who he is. And that's a quote unquote from Reeves. It is the root of who he is, a loving God. I'd like to read an excerpt from this book, if you would permit me. "My chosen one in whom I delight." Now, God could not be love if there were nobody to love. He could not be a father without a child. And yet, it is not as if God created so that he could love someone. He is love and does not need to create in order to be who he is. If he did, what a needy, lonely thing he would be. "Poor old God," we'd say. If he created us in order to be who he is, we would be giving him life. But that's not the way it happened. He is and always has been a father. So it seems only natural and entirely characteristic of him to create others that he might also love them. Creation is about the extension of that love outwardly so that it might be enjoyed by you and me. Why does the Father love the Son so much? The Father loves the Son because the Son perfectly radiates the glory of God. He's the same divine essence, manifesting the same glorious perfection. And that's found in Hebrews 1:3. It says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." And that's where Christ is seated at the right hand of his loving Father, ruling and reigning from on high today. So what should be our response, our action to our God who selflessly loves, who gave his Son to die for our transgressions, gave his Son for a sinful world? Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody do that? I think I would have a hard time. I would have a hard time doing that. I couldn't do that. Could you do that? Probably not. I don't know. But God did it because God is love, and his love is perfect. So imagine how much God saw our need and loved us. He loved his Son so much, yet he gave him, sent him to earth to die for us. So what should our response be? Shouldn't it be to love him back? To not trivialize this love by silly songs, love stinks, stupid happy love? No. Throwing the word around like it's, does it mean anything? No, we should not trivialize this love that we experience in Jesus. Don't take it for granted. But as Luke 10:27 tells us, love the Lord, and we heard this verse already this morning. Thank you, Mike. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. But it didn't stop there. Because we can think, we think we can do that. I can love the God. God, I love you with all my heart, with all my strength, with all my mind. I do love you, God, and I'm so grateful for what you've done in Jesus. And then he also says, and love your neighbor as yourself. That can be the difficult part. So, but I don't want to get sidetracked here, but that's love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. God sent Jesus out of selfless love. God knows what love is. He loves his Son. He is love. He proves his love by sending his only begotten Son to us. I'd like to close with another reading from this great book. Some of you have remember this book. We went through some of it in Sunday school. So I close with this. So next time you look up at the sun, the moon, and the stars and wonder, remember, they are there because God loves, because the Father's love for the Son burst out that it might be enjoyed by many. And they remain there only because God does not stop loving. He is an attentive Father who numbers every hair on our heads, for whom the fall of every sparrow matters. And out of love, he upholds all things through his Son and breathes out natural life on all through his Spirit. Not only is God's joyful, abundant, spreading goodness the very reason for creation, the love and goodness of the triune God is the source of all love and goodness. The 17th century Puritan theologian John Owen wrote that the Father's love for the Son is the fountain and prototype of all love. And all love in the creation was introduced from this fountain to give a shadow and resemblance of it. Indeed, in the triune God is the love behind all love, the life behind all life, the music behind all music, the beauty behind all beauty, and the joy behind all joy. In other words, the triune God is a God we can heartily enjoy and enjoy in and through his creation. I'm thankful this morning that God didn't send his Son out of pity. God didn't create to keep himself company. But God is a loving God and always has been for eternity. And he loves you and I so much that he gave his only Son for us. Let's pray. Father, how can we express our love for you, for what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus? I don't know, it's hard for me to describe it sometimes. Sometimes it's a feeling, sometimes it's knowing. Sometimes I have to believe in faith. Father, but by your Spirit, you reveal your love to us through your word, through others, through sending your Son, through your goodness and mercy. And we are so grateful for that this morning. Help us not to take that love for granted. Help us not to use the word love in a casual or crass or meaningless way, Father. To be careful when we use the word love. And when we use that word love, may we be reminded of the love that you had for your Son, that you have for your Son, who is your heir. And we are heirs in the Son. And we can share in that love. And we feel that love. And for that, we're grateful this morning. So, Father, help us in this time of Advent, in the Christmas season, as we have opportunity to share that love, help us to do that. Give us the words to say. Give us the ways to show it. And the ways to encourage others in that love, I pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.